Hello there. It's been a while since the last podcast. The last recording was for August, and September and October turned out to be busier and a bit more hectic than I thought, including some things that needed to be done for the podcast, which sort of got in the way as well. So I do have some good news regarding the podcast that I'll mention a little bit later. But I thought that for this recording, I would mess around a bit with the timeline and talk about what's been going on with the podcast, and then deal with the September trip to Scotland in the October podcast, which will be coming along in a couple of weeks. I also have a recording made on my phone that was originally going to be a bonus podcast that was going to be added. And I didn't get the other half recorded of that bonus podcast. So I thought the best thing that I can do, because it is quite a good recording, I quite like it. I quite like recording those location podcasts, a bit like I did at the Mull of Galloway earlier in the year. I think the way that I can use it best of all is just to put it onto the end of the October podcast, and then it's out there, which will be great. So that's how I'm going to mess around with the timeline a bit. I will also cover some of the things that have been happening to the website, updates and various other different things, new galleries in the October podcast as well. So that's going to have some good links, and it's also going to have a bit of a catch-up with what I've been up to. So, what's been happening with the podcast? Well, the hosting has been moved. About 10 and a half years at jellycast.com, I've decided to shift from my old host to a new podcast host at anchor.fm, which is part of Spotify. And the reason for this is really just to make my life a lot easier when it comes to doing these recordings and upload them and controlling the podcast. It provides a lot of new tools for me to distribute the podcast around, and that's already started because this podcast is now available on Spotify, which is fantastic. But a lot of it was really because the Jellycast website and hosting had not been updated in a long time. The actual date seen at the bottom of the website, the copyright date, was 2012. I get the impression that while their hosting is still active, it's not quite abandoned, but it's not quite being looked after. It's sort of in a bit of a limbo situation. So I think it's a great time for me to move. There are, of course, a few technical issues that come with that. I did try and get a redirect so that everybody would be included, subscribers would be included in the changes. But sadly, that was another thing that Jellycast, even though I contacted them, contacted their support, didn't hear anything back, which again sort of proves the point really that it's not quite being looked after in the way it should be as a service. So I imagine that they're probably, I would not be surprised if they aren't hemorrhaging podcasters. Probably I'm it's amazing that I probably stayed there as long as I did, but they're just, things just weren't going in the right direction. So going over to Anchor.fm has improved a lot of the technical side of the website. And probably one of the most important things will be that I'll be able to add the podcast links, the photography links that I talk about in each podcast, to the show notes with the podcast, which is great. It makes it a lot easier for people just to click on that and go through to wherever I'm talking about. This month's links are all from the BBC In Pictures website, but I talk about all sorts of different photography websites all over the web, and I'll be able to link them directly in the show notes, which is fantastic and will help enormously, I think, when it comes to me talking about things that you can just click through. Like I say, distribution-wise, that's going on quite well. And at the moment, all of the feeds are updating, so hopefully there won't be very much disruption. The only one is going to be the Raw feed, which is Jellycast's own RSS feed, which will stop functioning after a while. There will be no more recordings made on. But if you are listening to this podcast and you've got this podcast on your phone, you don't need to worry any further. You're on the new RSS feed. You don't have to do anything. So yeah, it's an important move. It's been a bit fiddly, it's been a bit technical, but I think it's important that it gets moved across for a few more years doing these little recordings. I'll also get some good analytics, so hopefully I'll be able to realise how many people are downloading, how many people are having a listen. It might be a bit, you know, with more accuracy when it comes to the analytics, it might actually show that I'm not getting as many listeners as I think I am. But, you know, I just do this for the fun. I don't really see myself as a major broadcaster. I'm just talking about photography and the photography that I love and the things that I'm up to. And if you enjoy listening to that, then that's great. It's much appreciated. But yeah, we'll move on to, I think, the podcast links, and then we can get this uploaded and then I can start working on the October podcast. So as I said earlier, the links for this month, I thought I would talk about BBC in Pictures, which is part of the BBC News website, but I think it gets a bit overlooked by photographers to a certain extent. They don't really think about, you know, the BBC, known for being a television channel here in the UK, the major broadcaster. You don't really think about them sort of like doing a photography blog, which is sort of what it is. But it does have a great collection of photography on it that ranges from climate, politics, covering African photography, music, the environment. I think I've already mentioned the environment, haven't I? But, you know, nature, wildlife photography, social photography. There's all sorts of things there to take a look at. And there's a mixture of articles to read with images, galleries, and also videos as well. So I thought I'd just take a few of my favourites. I'm going to start with the first one, which is Joy Division, which is a band that I got into many years ago when I was a photography student, back in the mid-1990s. I was talking with a friend of mine on my photography course, Martin, and he mentioned Joy Division. He was a big fan. And I thought, well, I'll check them out. I'll go and get one of their albums. So I went out and bought Closer. And it was a bit of a surprise. It wasn't quite the way that I thought it was going to sound. But I really loved the music, and I've been a Joy Division fan ever since. And this article is called Joy Division Photographer Kevin Cummins on Capturing the Post-Punk Icons. And really, it's about Kevin Cummins and then photographing Joy Division, but also the relationship that Ian Curtis's daughter has with those images as well. Ian Curtis, of course, killed himself in 1980, which brought an end to the band. They went on to become New Order, of course. But Natalie Curtis had approached Kevin Cummins about the images and was just asking about whether he'd got any images of her father smiling, which Kevin basically turned around and said, well, you know, back then, really, bands didn't smile when it came to the photos. But there is one a little bit further down, I believe, where they're on the overpass, there's a road behind them, and it's the middle of winter. It's probably quite an iconic image of the band. And Ian is actually, I would say that's almost a smile. His eyes are certainly smiling. He looks certainly cheerier than the rest of the band do. So I would say that that would be one that I would be, you know, pointing Ian Curtis's daughter towards. But it also goes into just about taking the images, and the photographer also revisits some of the images where the band, you know, and locations where the band were photographed, which is quite interesting as well. So if you are a big Joy Division fan, it's certainly worth having a look at. There's a lot of images that I imagine if you're a Joy Division fan, you will recognise from album covers and posters and various different things. They are an amazing set of black and white images. And it is quite interesting that Kevin Cummins mentions, you know, that there are no colour images because there was no demand for them with the music press at that point. They were all interested in black and white images, colour photography they just weren't interested in, which, you know, it kind of gets forgotten that even in the early 1990s, black and white was still the main way of shooting images for newspapers and publications. It started to change in the 1990s and go over to the colour that we get now. And of course, with digital technology, it's a lot easier. But back then, it was all black and white if it was press stuff. But I think that actually adds to the Joy Division sort of image and makes them iconic. Some of the pictures are actually quite stark. The one of them on the overpass where they're in the distance, which is actually used on one of the best of Joy Division albums. But it's just a fantastic picture. It's quite stark. Graphic stark quality, as it's Cummins calls it. But it works for that band, and it just really works for Joy Division. So yeah, if you're a Joy Division fan, take a look at that. The next one is some nature photography. This is close-up of Gull's Eye in Shetland wins Ecology Photography Prize. This is the British Ecological Society's annual international photography competition, and the picture that won, was Rebecca Nason's picture of a gull with speckled markings, which she later realised were actually lice. It's never pretty in the natural world, is it? There's always something. But it does actually look like speckled markings on the bird. It's only when you sort of like really look closer that you realise that it's an infestation of lice. But it does add to the image, and all I can say is that those lice must like flying, because that bird will fly a lot, so they must keep tight hold. But anyway, some of the other images as well include macro, which are rather impressive, and one that kind of stood out for me, mainly because I'm not a big fan of snakes, was one a bit further down. It's about, I don't know, two-thirds down the page. And it's a picture by John Benjamin Owen, and it's a viper in India that's just laid in a field while there's workers in the background sort of toiling away, gathering the crop in. And it's just, I don't know, I just find it a very creepy image. I imagine the snake's just keeping out of the way. But on the other hand, you sort of like want to make sure that you're keeping out the way of it. It looks as though it was taken with a telephoto, which I think would be highly recommended. I imagine a viper being particularly not keen on being photographed close up, not to be recommended. And there's also a fantastic portrait of a blowfly underneath. It's just amazing, the macro stuff. Just absolutely amazing how the things that we don't actually see because they're just so small. So yeah, a really good collection in of prize winners there from the Ecology Photography Prize. Well worth a look if you're into your nature photography. And finally, a bit more music. This is just a collection of images from the 1960s, Beatles and Stones. The title is All I Can Hear is a Cacophony of Screaming Girls, Photographing the Beatles and Stones. And this is the work of Ian Wright, who was just 18 when he captured the Beatles on stage in 1963. But the photos never made it into his newspaper because of events halfway round the world. So I won't mention what the other event was. But the great thing is that these images were shot for the Northern Echo, which is a local paper for me. It covers sort of like a large area of the northeast of England. It's a good read. Still is a good read, a good paper. And Ian Wright worked for the newspaper and took these images, you know, for the newspaper, which goes to show sort of how coverage of local events and things probably changed the budgets for a lot of local newspapers. Probably wouldn't include this. They have to be quite focused on what they report nowadays. And in some cases, even Facebook have been supplying money to local paper for journalism, local papers for journalism, which is rather a strange relationship, I would say. A lot of the papers seem as though they are quite comfortable with that because they're getting some money from, any money is better than no money, I suppose. But yeah, it's a fantastic collection of images, and great that they were taken very near me in the local town in County Durham. So the Stones coming to Northern England is quite interesting. There's also some other pictures of some 60s stars, quite UK-based stars, Cliff Richard and Cilla Black from the 1960s. Both of them had a lot of hits. And just a great collection of images and thoughts about photography and what was going on in the 60s and newspapers and how they worked in the 1960s, which I think is fascinating as well, because, like I said, they've kind of changed quite a lot in this modern digital era. Some of them are struggling somewhat. So that is it for this podcast. I will press the stop button and get it uploaded to the new hosting and get the links put onto the show notes for the first time, which is going to be fantastic. I will be back again in a couple of weeks with the October podcast, and I'll be talking about Scotland and various other different things and just doing a general catch-up, and then everything could be back up to speed, ready for the November podcast. So I hope you'll join me then. If you are listening to this via Spotify, then welcome to the podcast. I'll hope you'll continue listening. And like I say, I'll be back very soon. So until then, goodbye.